Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Crossed in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me on the broadcast this morning. Today, the end of August, Monday, August 31st, 2020. Our summer is slowly fading away, and the fall leaves are headed in our direction very soon. I want to begin the broadcast this morning talking to you about my newest book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. Actually, it was published on Amazon, paperback, and Kindle back on June 23rd. And it's a book that has taken quite a while to write. My co-author, Manoush Bakhtiari, and myself, we worked hard on the articles in this book, featuring articles about Blue Girl, the young Iranian woman who was denied entrance into a soccer game because women are not allowed to attend men's soccer games in Iran. And as a result, she protested in despair and set herself on fire and became an international person through this act of defiance and martyrdom over the restrictions on women. Also in the book, I talk about the young children in Iran that are married off between 9 and 13 years old. And really, it is a sad situation for child marriage in Iran. Other articles in the book, it's about the hijab law. It's about Mehdi Rajabian, the Iranian musician who produced just a couple of years ago, in fact, actually last year, a CD called Middle Eastern. And it features musicians from all over the world. They are doing selections for peace and human rights in the Middle East. And now Majed Mehdi has been arrested once again for allowing female singers on his website. You're not allowed to do that in Iran. And also for producing another CD. He's forbidden to do any kind of music. They consider it haram and protest against the government. So an article about Mehdi is in my book as well, as articles and updates on Arash Satterjee, Golrakh Iyari, other political activists in the book, and many, many other stories. The book Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians is available up on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. This is a book that will bring awareness to you about what's happening every day in the Islamic Republic of Iran under the iron fist dictatorship of this government. It features stories that will inspire you, stories that will break your heart, stories that will cause you to be a voice to speak out and pray for the Iranian people. Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. The desperate cry continues in Iran this morning. I want to talk about, and this is a story from the Jerusalem Post, the latest individual to be sentenced to death for doing silent, I should say not silent, for doing peaceful protests. And this time, the Iranian regime has selected a very world-famous wrestler. The Islamic Republic of Iran's Supreme Court confirmed the death sentence of national wrestling champion Navid Qari for his 2018 protest against the regime in Tehran. The news website Iran International reported on this past Saturday that Iran's clerical regime imposed two death sentences, 6 years and 6 months in prison, and 74 lashes on Afkari. Two death sentences. His brother Vahid Afkari received a prison sentence of 54 years and 6 months in prison, plus 74 lashes. The third brother, Habib, was slapped with a prison term of 27 years and 3 months and 74 lashes. Unbelievable extreme punishment for just peaceful protesting in Iran. Prominent American Iranians around the world urged the Islamic Republic not to execute these brothers. Actress Nazanin Boinadadi tweeted, quote, champion wrestler Navid Afkari has been sentenced to death for participating in anti-government protests in Iran. Those close to him have said he was subjected to a forced confession under torture. Stop executions in Iran. Now, Reza Pahlavi, who is the son of the late Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, quote, tweeted, Navid Afkari, a champion wrestler, joined his compatriots in protest to demand a better future. For that, the criminal regime in Iran has sentenced him to death. The international community must act to prevent the murder of another young Iranian who is innocent. Stop execution in Iran. Now, Iran International reported that Navid and Vahid Afkari were severely tortured to give confessions, and the testimony of witness about their beatings and tortures are even referenced in the case. But, of course, the court ignored that. Now, an informed source, according to Iran International, said the case is filled, quote, with baseless accusations, including many mentions of producing tools for criminal activity, which refers to carrying a nail clipper, a screwdriver, and masks. Iran's judiciary charged the brothers with 20 different crimes, which include attending illegal gatherings, assembly, and conspiracy to commit crimes against national security, and of course, insulting the supreme leader. As I mentioned to you, there were egregious human rights violations going on, and these were forced confessions. They were brutally tortured by Shiraz intelligence police to make forced confessions. Navid Afkari detailed his torture in a letter from prison published by human rights groups. He said, quote, they pulled a plastic bag over my head and kept it there until I nearly suffocated. They brutally beat my hands, batons, while using vulgar language and insults. They also tied me and poured alcohol into my nose. These are the things that go on behind the scenes that they don't want the world to know. They want the world to think that there is freedom and justice in Iran, and nothing could be further for the truth. Now, these tortures and these death sentences are used to stifle any future protests. Back in August 5th, the regime hanged a political prisoner in central Iran, Mustafa Salehi. Now, he was part of protests a couple of years ago in Isfahan, and his father was charged with killing a member of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. So these other protests are done on purpose. I mean, these other executions are done on purpose to stifle and to scare and to put fear into the hearts of any other Iranians that would dare to speak out. What we need to do in this case is very simple. I want you to go to my Facebook page. This story is on my Facebook page. I want you to share it on every one of your pages. Share it with your friends. I want you also to share the podcast today of this broadcast about Navid. We need to do everything on Facebook and Twitter and Parler as much as we can to to garner support and unity. Because remember, just a couple of months ago, there was total unity among Iranians and many other human rights activists, and the regime postponed the execution of three protesters. So our voices and our pressure is being felt. And so it's so important for us to do everything we can to stop the execution of Navid. And so that involves a little bit of work, but it's worth it because it's his life. And his life is very precious to God. So let's be vigilant to share this broadcast, to share his story on all your pages, to go on Twitter, to go on Parler, every social media outlet you can, and tell Navid's story and demand that Iran stop the execution. I want to shift gears here a little bit because I want to talk to you this morning about the incredible courage of Iranian Christians in the house church movement. And in order to do that, though, I want to update us a little bit about the COVID crisis that's going on. This is a story on Open Doors. This story can be found on my Praying for the Persecuted Church pages. And you can go there and read this story in its entirety. We all know what's happened in the last several months with the coronavirus, how it's changed our life, how it's turned the world upside down. Well, the coronavirus came early to Iran, and it hit hard. Hundreds of thousands of people were infected, and according to official numbers, more than 20,000 people have died. Well, but those numbers may not be correct. The BBC was recently touting some figures from an unknown source. We can't say who it was. The data shows that there are actually more than 450,000 people infected with COVID-19 in Iran and more than 42,000 deaths. It's because the government is very incompetent. They don't care. And that this data only includes data from July 20th. It could be even higher. Iran's government obviously is clearly trying to lessen the actual impact of the coronavirus pandemic. The government is already under tremendous pressure for its violence against protesters who were protesting gas prices, and then its actions in the aftermath of Iran's accidental, they say, shooting down of a passenger jet. Well, inflation, of course, is so high, people can't afford to buy meat, poultry, even fruit in Iran, and they have started to consume more beans. So life in Iran was hard before COVID-19, but the pandemic has dragged the country into an even deeper economic crisis. There is an increase in illegal activities in Iran to make money. Women are increasingly forced into the Islamic practice of a temporary marriage in exchange for money to support their family, a legal practice threatening some Christians who live in Islamic families too. Now, even as it disguises the true number of sick, that is the Iranian government, embattled Iranian President Hassan Rouhani admitted that 25 million Iranians may have been affected by COVID-19. 25 million. However, the church, largely operating underground, has not been spared by the coronavirus pandemic. Despite that, some Christians were released from prison where COVID-19 has been spreading. There are other Christians that have had to leave Iran because they've been given heavy prison sentences. I'm speaking of Pastor Victor Bet Tamraz and his wife Shamaram. They were arrested and sentenced to many years in jail just for following Jesus in Iran, and they fled. Thank the Lord for that. So there is a sense of hopelessness and fatigue in Iran, and it hasn't bypassed Christians. There's a lot of spiritual warfare going on. However, in spite of all of this, by the incredible power of the Holy Spirit, Iranian Christians continue, in spite of the pandemic, to minister to hurting people. The Iranian church has had to quickly adjust to the reality of COVID-19, and like all Christians around the world, they have found creative ways to have fellowship and outreach and reaching out to people. And that's in spite of the constant threat of prison. The underground church is shining brightly. from their own means and with the money given to them through partners, and that is including Open Doors, they share their food and sanitary items with the community. A pastor wrote Open Doors a handwritten note through a partner, and he says, many non-believing family members of Christians have changed their views towards the church during this pandemic. They were amazed to see how the church was taking care of the needy. People were astonished when we gave them food, said another believer in an email. They praised God with thanksgiving psalms, crying, hugging, and shouting. I can boldly say that for all of them, the relief package was a big blessing, and God had guided us to the right people. Another believer reached out to her church leader over the phone, overwhelmed with happiness. We went to give food today. There were people who obviously were so needy. They thanked us so much. They were so happy. There were two children who were very weak and sick because they hadn't been eating well. And there were some old people. One of them was blind. And they couldn't believe we gave them so much food because they hadn't had such an amount of food since the start of this crisis. I thanked God for this work. I will never forget the happiness of these people today. And truly, glory be to the Lord. The Iranian Christians also have learned about themselves and God's love for them. They learn that they are called to help in dark times, and doing so, it's encouraged them and it's made them joyful. In quarantine, one believer says, our hearts were drawn even nearer to the heart of the Father. The church had a spiritual awakening despite its weakness. A pastor writes, we thank the Lord that in these days of quarantine, the kingdom of the Lord has increased even more than before. Even though we were in quarantine, God prepared the hearts of people. And as we talk to those people, believers, what an example this is to me as a Christian. To hear how the Iranian house church, underground church, is reaching out to the needy, reaching out to the lost, changing lives. We're seeing more Iranians coming to Jesus in Iran. This truly is the work of the Lord. There is revival in Iran during this pandemic. And what does that say about the church here in the USA? That we can shine brightly too, like the Iranian people that are suffering under the threat of imprisonment for simply changing their religion. How much more should we as believers not shine brightly here? I want us to think about shining brightly as the church as we listen right now to this song by Matt Redman called Shine.
Sun awakening the early dawn, and we're rising up to give you praise. Lord, we have seen the stars and moon, see how they shine for you, and you're calling us to do the same. So we rise up with a song, and we rise up with a cry, and we're giving we
Music of Matt Redman and a song called Shine. That is what the church is to do during dark and difficult times, and that is what the Iranian underground house church movement is doing right now in Iran. It makes me think of the powerful words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, our distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What incredible words of insurance. Nothing, no one, no power, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. No pandemic, no virus has the power to destroy the spiritual life that Christ has given us. It says that God is for us, then who can be against us? You see that in the dark and difficult times. You comprehend this all the more when you're up against the wall. This reminds me of my friends Miriam Rostampour and Marzia Amorizeda, who were on death row in 2009 in Evin prison for distributing thousands of New Testaments all across Iran. They were up against the wall. A voice went out for them. Protesters went out for them. People signed petitions. God moved through the prayers of many people, and they were released from prison, released from death row. It is amazing what can happen when God's people are unified, when there is prayer, petition, when we are crying out for the Lord to intervene. Look what he did for Miriam and Marzia. And he continues to hear our prayers and our cries. And that's why you need to go to my Facebook page. I want you to share the article about the wrestler, Navid, on every one of your pages. When this broadcast is over and I post it, I want you to share it with as many people as you possibly can. Let's create a storm. Let's create a noise in unity and in power and be a voice for Navid. Let's make sure this government hears our voices, feels the pressure of the community all over the world being of one voice, speaking against his execution. Stop executions in Iran is the message. These are peaceful protesters. Again, I remind us of those living here in the United States. The Bill of Rights, the Constitution, gives you and me the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom to protest, the freedom to assemble, the freedom to right to bear arms. And we could go down the list of our freedoms. Navid doesn't have one of those freedoms. He has no freedom at all. But we are going to say something about that. We are going to speak out for him. And that's where you and I come in. And we have to be committed to that. Because without our voices, they, that is the regime, will certainly execute this man. God has ordained us for this moment to be a voice for him, to speak out in his behalf. And so, no matter what you've heard today on the program, just remember this. We have a responsibility. We are a community. There are many Iranian Americans who are my friends, and we belong to a group called Georgia Persians. And we will meet together, and we will post, and we will speak out as one voice to say, stop the executions in Iran. We have the power. We have the freedom. Let's use our freedoms wisely on behalf of those that don't. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Proverbs 31 says that for us to be a voice. And so I want to thank you so much today for listening. God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert.